Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 12th of July, 2024, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. It's a Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III, and I'm hoping my co-host from yesterday, Mr. Nathan Duncombe, will be able to join us. I had a wonderful time talking with him. And I think it's great to have multi-generational voices talking about the impact of sports on our lives individually, collectively, at a social level, and of course at a national level, particularly with the government entrenching itself even further in the Sporting in Paradise initiative. It's imperative that we as Bahamians begin to understand the space so that we can devise and strategize opportunities for us individually and collectively to not only support the government's Sporting in Paradise initiative, but to support other Bahamians that want to benefit from or even take advantage of the opportunities that may arise without negatively impacting the larger ecosystem. And I think younger Bahamians need to be a part of the conversation. They have a right to be a part of the conversation so they can understand what their role is and what their role can be. But if we expect younger Bahamians to pick up the reins, then we must create an environment in which they can do so. So I'm hoping Mr. Duncan is able to join us today, but if he is not, we will see him next week. We've got a little housekeeping before we get into the news proper. We just want to draw attention to a tragic event that took place, I think, early yesterday morning or the week on Sunday night into morning. Police are searching for four persons missing after boat sinks off Andrus. Police are searching for four missing people following a boating incident in waters off Morgan's Bluff, Andrus. Reports are that around 2 a.m. on Thursday, a vessel carrying eight people was traveling from Ocean Key to Eleuthera. The boating vessel began to take on water 9 miles north of Morgan's Bluff, Andrus, and sank. Local fishermen helped four men, three Hondurans, and one Haitian national. Four of the eight passengers, including the captain, are missing. The Royal Bahamas Defense Force and U.S. Coast Guard are assisting with search and rescue efforts. I can't emphasize enough the importance of wearing life vests, life jackets in marine environments. I'm a Bahamian that got thrown off a boat into Exuma waters at the age of somewhere, I believe, between 1 and 2. I born a bubbler. And often, I don't ever think about putting on a life vest. I could swim. I could handle the ocean. I don't need a life vest. But even I am wrong. I am wrong. And I have to shift my personal culture around the issue. I keep forgetting I old. I keep forgetting I ain't a little 2-year-old, 1-year-old that sink under the water and bubble right up naturally. And we as boat people, we as sea people, need desperately to shift this culture to ensure that we are taking every safety precaution required and even more when we are on the water. I hope that the powers that be, the agencies responsible, see the urgency in preparing Bahamians with these tools and skill sets. So, a little housekeeping. Traffic. Dear corporate entities in the country, when you send your drivers out in large vehicles, like the type of vehicle that delivers sodas to food stores, please ensure that your drivers not only are aware of all of the traffic requirements, but they are committed to following them. It's nothing as exciting as watching a large vehicle approach an intersection, knowing that they are assessing whether they actually need to come to a full stop at the stop sign or whether they could safely slide into the intersection without stopping. These people are wearing your company uniforms. They're driving your company vehicles. And the way that they address drivers in the road would suggest that they think that they have the company's legal team on their side. Corporate Bahamas, you're not living up to your obligations. You're allowing your staff on a regular basis to terrorize ordinary Bahamians on the road. Let's not talk about customer service in some of these entities. However, let's focus on the things we can control. Please. It's more than, well, when we get a police report, we assess it and we fire the staff member if we need to. It's more than that. You need to engage in continual assessments and observations to ensure that your drivers are not driving recklessly, are not wantonly breaking the laws. Like corporate drivers know, they cannot turn left on red anywhere but University Drive and University Commons. They know this and they don't care. Please do something about it. Now, in some happier news, I want to remind everybody that the HHT family reunion is soon approaching, August 1st through 5th. You still have time to register. You can register for the whole event, or you can register for one or two of the events. Please tune into the reunion WhatsApp group for all details. And just a reminder that all important messages and meeting Zoom links will be posted there in the 2024 HHT reunion WhatsApp group. Now, a story, quick headline, it's not sports, a quick story that has me smiling all over. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of announcing that both my mother and my late uncle Patrick Bailey received national honors in this year's list. Well, making the family even prouder, if you turn to the front page of the Pulse section in today's Nassau Guardian, Bahamian makes history. Noel Seymour, elected first international collegiate member on the National Board of Directors for Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Inc. She made history when she was elected to serve as the first international collegiate member on the National Board of Directors for Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Inc. Now, this is just all kinds of pleasure because Noel Seymour, like me, my cousin, is both a part of the Hannah Hastie Tynes family and the Mitchell family. And I just want to say congratulations to her, to her parents, to the support system in the Mitchell family that made sure if she wanted to keep her head stuck in the book, she could keep her head stuck in the book. Noel, we are proud of you, and I know your Uncle Keith Seymour. I know your Uncle Keith Seymour is rolling over right now. He ain't in no grave. He's rolling over on the beach in the sand, just shouting your praises because you have done a fantastic job. Well done, cousin. Well done, cousin. Now, I see I got a caller on the line. Thank you for your patience, caller. Good morning.
No problem. According to this, talking voice along with you, Aaron.
Now, Brayman, we talking sports this morning. We talking sports this morning. I don't know what Mr. Newry has on deck. I'm not sure if he has guests, but I am also tempted to talk about the headlines. But like I said earlier, I am committed to this space. Not only do Not only do we need different types of conversations.
Okay, I'll probably wait for the show.
Yes, sir. I so sorry.
No apologizing. Problem. I could understand that.
Have a great morning, eh?
You're the same.
And don't tune away, though. Stay right there.
No, I'm not.
Good thing.
I just sleep with my radio on Guardian, my station on Guardian Radio.
Thank you. Good. Look here, I just lucky to be on this station. Have a great day, Bremen.
God is good. You're doing a beautiful job. Not only is that, you're very much intelligent. You give people knowledge and understanding of situations.
Thank you, Bremen.
That happens in our country.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. In fact, you reminded me, I just want to stick a note. I'm going to talk about it on Monday. I saw snippets from a video that is purported to have captured an act of sexual violence when an adult male engaged in intercourse with a minor child. She may be a teenager, but she is still legally a minor and a child. We're going to talk about that on Monday because there sure has been a rise in sexual violence in this country. And I'm not sure if we're taking it seriously enough, particularly given the response to the Minister of National Security's unfortunate commentary in 2022 about consent. We will pick that up on Monday, along with a number of stories surrounding sexual violence in the country. But let's get started with sports. First story, Shania Adley won't compete at Olympics. I am very disappointed. But at the same time, we must support the POC, the organizers of the Bahamian Olympic teams and athletes going to the Olympics. And we must also moderate our feelings about the matter. I was hoping to see more in the paper. So this is a brief, it was like a breaking news story from Our News yesterday. 16-year-old Shania Adley will not be going to the Paris Olympics as an Olympian due to her not having one of three of the fastest times in the 400 meters. She has, however, been offered the opportunity to travel with the team. You may recall Shania helped Team Bahamas qualify for the mixed relay during the World Athletics Relays in May. Here's what my issue is, though. She did not have one of the three fastest times in the 400 meters. But you take in four people. Okay, you take in four. That's right, but there's six people you take in total, and I imagine three are men and three are women, and so she did not hit the top three times among women for the mixed relay. I'm hoping that's what it is, because that makes sense if that's what the rules say. If you bring in six people in total, did she have to come in the top three in total, or is it specifically for the female runners? And I'm making a critique, but I think that this is information that the public would love to know so that we could understand these processes better. And I want to focus on a story that was in July 10th, the Independence Day, I guess, online publication for the Nassau Guardian. It's written by Sheldon Longley, 51 Years of Sports Greatness. And what Mr. Longley has done is identified what he thinks are the top five athletic performances in an independent Bahamas over the first 51 years of our independence. I'm going to go through it. It's a very nice article. I think people should, especially sports aficionados, young people should pick it up. So I'm going to fast forward to the list. He says, there are so many great performances in sports and Bahamian history, so it's difficult to select just five. For this, he had to factor in courage, strength, resilience, grit, and tenacity while considering the overall success of the individuals or team. One, number one on the list, Richard the Lionheart Johnson. If you ever been to Elutra, if you ever been to James Siston, then you know Richard the Lionheart Johnson has a special place in the hearts of all Lutherans. Longley says, number one for me is softball legend Richard the Lionheart Johnson hurling 19 innings and yielding just one run against a tough New Zealand team at the International Softball Federation's Men's World Fast Pitch Championship in Tacoma, Washington in 1980. The Bombers won the game 2-1, securing the bronze at the global event, giving the country to date its highest ever finish in a team sport at a legitimate World Championships. The Bahamas remains the only Caribbean country to win a medal at that event. And just a year later, the women's national team duplicated the feat when they finished third at the inaugural World Games in Santa Clara, California, USA. Number two, Eddie Ford. The second top performance for Longley is Eddie Ford becoming the Wilt Chamberlain of local basketball. Ford is the only player in the country to score 100 points in a basketball game, matching the late great Chamberlain, who accomplished that in the NBA in March 1962, a record that stands to this day. Ford was also a great cricket and baseball player, but it's certainly the 100-point milestone that catches attention. Longley says, even though he was not born yet to see it. Number three on the list is Jermaine Choo Choo Mackey. Longley says, it's the Herculean effort by Jermaine Choo Choo Mackey in winning the Commonwealth Boxing Council Super Middleweight title at the Kendall G.L. Isaacs National Gymnasium in Nassau in 2008. Mackey took a beating that night but hung in there for 12 rounds against a resilient Michael Gbenga of Ghana, lasting solely on adrenaline and the support of a raucous crowd. At the end of the match, both of Mackey's eyes were swollen and forced shut. His face was busted open and he was visibly drained and fatigued. Be that as it may, Mackey kept swinging and in the end scored a unanimous decision over Gbenga, much to the delight and appreciation of the Bahamian crowd in attendance. That means Mackey was swinging blind. He was on some, John Wick? He's on some Kill Bill. Why, I am impressed, and I hope we all are impressed by these, again, Herculean efforts by these Bahamian athletes. Number four on the list, the Bahamas beats Cuba. Finishing fourth is the Bahamian baseball squad that took down the Cuban University national team, no pun intended, 2-1 in Havana, Cuba in 2006. Neil Forsythe pitched a gem of a game for the Bahamian team, yielding just three hits and leading them to the shocking victory, which to date is the Bahamas' only victory in baseball over a Cuban national baseball squad. Forsythe pitched eight innings and the heart of the Cuban lineup went hitless in 14 at-bats. I'm going to have to beg Mr. Longley for that team list so we could see if we can get some of the members of that 2006 team in studio to talk about the experience. Now, number five on the list is a tie between Chris the Fireman Brown and Superman Levan Sands. In Longley's view, two of the toughest competitors with warrior-like mentalities in Bahamian sports history. Brown is the Iron Man of Bahamian track and field, lasting about 20 years at a very high standard. He ran under 46 seconds in the men's 400 meters in 18 straight years and under 45 seconds in 10 of those years between 1999 and 2016. It's a standard that is unmatched, not just in Bahamian history in athletics, but globally as well. One of the most courageous efforts of Brown's career is actually a collection of performances over a short period of time in 2006. He ran three rounds of the men's 400 meters at the World Indoor Championships in Moscow, Russia, in March of that year, winning a bronze medal. And less than a week later, he was on the track at the 2006 Commonwealth Games in Australia. Brown ran three rounds of the 400 meters in Melbourne, climaxed by a fourth-place finish in the final, in which he ran 45.19, the fastest of his six races over the 12-day period. Brown had little recovery in between races, so much so where you could see the fatigue and jet lag in his eyes, traveling from Moscow to Melbourne and getting on the track, but he proved that he was up to the challenge. Longley says, in his view, it is the greatest collection of running in a two-week period in Bahamian history. Also, in my view, he's the most durable athlete in Bahamian history, never experiencing a major or severe injury that kept him out of competition for any lengthy period of time. Prior to the recent success by Stevie Gardner, Sands was the most consistent producer in individual events for Bahamian men at the Olympic Games. He won the bronze. We're talking about Superman Lee Van Sands now. He won the bronze in the men's triple jump at the 208 Beijing Olympics, setting a national record of 17.59 meters. He was fifth in the Olympic final in London, England, in 2012, and just missed the Olympic final in the Rio de Janeiro Olympics in 2016. Just to qualify for the 2016 Olympics was the story, though. Sands ruptured his patella tendon on his fourth jump of the men's triple jump final at the 2012 Olympics and was out of action for nearly 2 years. He still finished fifth at that Olympics and made a remarkable recovery, which was considered unlikely for an injury of that nature. Sands competed in just the long jump in 2014, but by 2015, he was near to full strength, qualifying for the 2016 Olympics with a massive jump of 16.99 meters, that's 55 feet 9 inches, at the Pan Am Games in Toronto, Canada, for a silver medal. He went on to the World Championships that year and finished 10th in the final and had a stellar performance at the Olympics the following year, despite bowing out in the qualifying round. Few expected Sands to come back from the injury in 2012, much less win a regional medal, which he did at the Pan Am Games, and still qualify for global competitions like he did for the World Championships and the Olympics. Sands defied the odds, shaking off hints at retirement, and made a recovery unlike any other in Bahamian sports history. The sporting discipline of athletics has certainly been at the forefront, producing world and Olympic champions and world record holders on all levels, but the Bahamas has proven to be a powerhouse across the board in all sports. Hence, this independent celebration should be one of true national pride in a cross-section of areas for Bahamians, including sports, as our athletes continue to bring recognition and prestige to the small and powerful nation. I thought that was a wonderful write-up. And for our National Day of Learning, we need to engage and employ the services and contributions of our local journalists who are stakeholders in the documentation and preservation of history and culture, because this article right here is a wonderful teaching moment. I want to segue quickly to a couple of Tribune sports stories, because Chris Brown is getting ready to host his camp in New Providence. Fireman excited about camp at home. Very rarely does he get home to do something like this. So Chris the Fireman Brown is eagerly excited about what will take place at his Rise of Champions track camp this weekend. Now in his sixth year as the head coach at Clayton State in Morrow, Georgia, Brown has taken a much-needed break to return to Eleuthera, where he will conduct the one-day session on Saturday between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. at his alma mater at the Preston Aubrey School in Rock Sound. So that sound like Mr. Fireman Brown, we need to link up with a mailboat or the fast ferries to see if we could provide access to some New Providence kids who could benefit from this camp by putting them on a fast ferry at 6 in the morning. They should be in Eleuthera by 9 and settle in for the camp by 10 a.m. Camp ends at 3. We could put them back on the boat at 6 and they could be back in Nassau by 9 p.m. Tides willing. All right, I just got a text. I wanted the texter to know I will reach out to them after the show. Thank you very much. Okay, so Chris Brown camp. Then we got another exciting camp Ministry teams up with Blue Chip Athletics for free javelin camp. The Ministry of Youth Sports and Culture in collaboration with Blue Chip Athletics Club, powered by Norwegian Cruise Line, have joined forces in hopes of finding the next generation of talented javelin throwers at a free camp to be hosted July 15th through 19th at the original Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. The camp is open to all potential javelin throwers between the ages of 12 and 16 and will run from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. over the course of 5 days. We are saying good morning and congratulations, hey, Diore Scott, javelin, Karifta javelin record holder. And our friend is Rima Odebar, right, Arlington? I think Rima Odebar, other javelinist. I like to call them porkers. They got that arm. They could pork. And we'd be training up a whole generation of young people who could pick fruit. They could eye the fruit, tell you which fruit they could knock down, and get it down with a single throw. That's Bahamian culture. All right, one more camp on deck story also in today's Tribune. Mullings to host free jumps clinic. Ken Mullings, the Bahamian national record holder for the men's heptathlon event, has enjoyed a successful last few weeks as a multi-athlete. The versatile former University of the Bahamas student athlete became the first Bahamian to qualify for the Olympic Games in any multi-event discipline. Mullings made the qualification standards through the World Athletics ranking system last week, and now this Saturday he's dedicating his time to hosting a free jump clinic at the original Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. The national record holder, who is sponsored by Powerade, spoke about the initiative set to take place this weekend. You can find this also in the Tribune today. I gotta go through the Guardian now. It's a full week of sports. What a great time. What a great time. Okay, on to some more stories. We've got lots to talk about today. Beach soccer tournament kicks off at National Stadium. This was from the 8th of July. This is Monday's Guardian. The Bahamas Football Association kicked off a much-anticipated beach soccer tournament on July 5th and promises an electrifying month of action, packed matches every Friday and Saturday until August the 3rd, held at the BFA National Beach Soccer Stadium at the foot of the Sir Sydney Poitier Bridge. The games begin at 6 p.m. each Friday and Saturday, offering fans an evening of thrilling beach soccer excitement. This year's tournament features 10 formidable teams vying for glory, promising spectacular goals, intense competition, and unforgettable moments. The opening weekend didn't disappoint. On Friday, men's Carib FC faced off against men's Beach Blazers. Carib FC emerged victorious 8-3. Then Future Stars FC clashed with Coastal Kings FC in a beach soccer battle that ended with Future Stars triumph 11-6. But then guess what else is happening? Sand Wars. Sand Wars Bahamas to host Ultimate Beach Flag Football Tournament. It's going to start Saturday, July 27th to Sunday, July 28th for the 8th Sand Wars Bahamas Beach Flag Football Tournament. 14 teams will look to lay it all out on the sand in hopes of not only leaving with some shiny hardware, but also an extra $1,500 in their pockets. The two-day event, again, will run from 8 a.m. until 6:30 p.m. on Saturday, and then 1 p.m. till 7 p.m. on Sunday, before the men and women's champions are crowned. It's going to be a good time all through the month of July. I can't wait to see what they have on deck for August. Let's get to some baseball. Aruba beats the Bahamas. That's in Thursday's paper, yesterday's paper, the Babe Ruth Caribbean Regional Championships, a five-day event held at the Andre Rogers National Baseball Stadium in the Blue Hills Sporting Complex, wrapped up on Independence Day with an intense showdown in the 12 and under championship game. Aruba emerged victorious against the Bahamas with a 3-0 win. The Bahamas was undefeated throughout the tournament, but Aruba's dominant pitching proved to be a key factor in their championship victory. The Bahamas' head coach, Greg Burrows Jr., praised his team's efforts. With their impressive run in the tournament, the Bahamas earned a berth to the Cal Ripken Major 70 World Series, set for August 7th through 18th at Ballparks of America in Missouri. Aruba will also advance to that tournament. In the 12 and under bronze medal game, Puerto Rico defeated an all-star team from the Freedom Farm Baseball League 2-1. The championships also featured competitive action in the 16 and under division. Venezuela advanced to the championship game against Team USA. Set late for Wednesday night, the results were not available up to press time. In the bronze medal game, the Bahamas defeated the team from the USA 4-3. Greg Burrows Sr., the Caribbean Region Commissioner for the Babe Ruth Organization, commented on the high level of competition. The focus now shifts to the Cal Ripken Major 70 World Series. I want to shift our attention, though, to something else. When I read Mr. Greg Burrows Jr.'s name, I stopped for a second because I remember from last year the issues that arose at the championships. I'll point your attention to a story. Babe Ruth League throws its support behind Burrows Sr., 15th of August, 23rd. It details the Babe Ruth League's response to the suspension of Greg Burrows Sr. and Jr. for 5 and 15 years, respectively. Now, at that time, the Babe Ruth League indicated that they are standing firm behind Greg Burrows Sr., stating that they fully support the local sports figure in the execution of his duties. Again, the suspension was handed down by the Bahamas Baseball Association after an unfortunate event between Mr. Greg Burrows Jr. and, I think, an umpire at the games. Foreign umpire Edane Canister of Curacao. And then by April the 5th, 2024, Burrows' duo reinstated, bans lifted. Less than a year after the father and son duo Gregory Burrows Sr. and Gregory Burrows Jr. received bans from baseball in the Bahamas, the BBA has announced that it is lifting those bans with immediate effect. Quote, the decision has been made after the BBA's deliberations and discussions with the relevant parties concerning the events that occurred during the Babe Ruth 2023 championships. The association is confident the correct measures were undertaken by the relevant parties in a spirit of cooperation and an act of true sportsmanship for the continued advancement of baseball as a unified sporting community within the Bahamas, the statement read. Guardian Sports reached out to the BBA and was told they had no further comment on the matter, but that lifting the bans was in the best interest of baseball in the Bahamas. Greg Sr. declined to comment on the ban reversal. Efforts were made to contact Greg Jr., but there was no response. This is a total 180-degree move from the BBA after it handed down the gauntlet on both. Greg Sr., former political candidate of the PLP, received a 5-year ban. Greg Jr. got a hefty 15-year ban. The ban prohibited them from national team duties and representation of the Bahamas internationally in baseball for the foreseeable future at that time. What concerns me is that the BBA didn't feel that they needed to provide a rationale for the decision to the general public. I wonder what percentage of funds used by the BBA are state donated funds, and whether those in positions of authority understand that when you are operating with taxpayer money, whether in whole or in part, you have an obligation to the taxpayer to provide transparency, not just about how the money is spent, but how the league, the group, the ecosystem is managed generally. And certainly I think a rationale is required given, as the article says, the weight of the fines, of the bans instituted. I hear the music producer, I come in. Here's another point, I can be finished with this after the break. Here's another point. For the interest of baseball in the Bahamas. So what you're saying is that if Greg Burrows Jr. was not available to coach the team, and Greg Burrows Sr. was not available as a liaison with the league and the local agencies, that baseball would fall apart in the country? You're trying to say that the whole success of the efforts made by hundreds of Bahamians over decades would all fall away if these two by them weren't instituted and the bans weren't lifted? Do you understand the implications of the statements that you're making and the implications of the fact that you refuse to speak on certain matters? Because when it comes to taxpayer money-involved activities, the taxpayer has the right to ask questions. They have the right to demand transparency. And certainly they are owed, at the very least, a rationale for decisions you have no intention of consulting taxpayers on. When you're going to be the big bad boss, be the big bad boss. Don't hide what you're doing, because you're going to do it anyway. We all deserve an explanation, but in particular, the status of all of the work contributed to this space, baseball in the Bahamas, is dependent upon the transparency and integrity in the operations of the space. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, we've got some Jazz Chisholm, some Stevie Gardner, some Jonquel Jones, some Kai Jones. We got some sporting news for you. We'll be right back. You're On the Clock with Aaron Green.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hey Bahamas, ready for some eye openers? Check out two brand new books by our legendary three-time PM, Hubert Ingraham. Get the tea on his amazing leadership and courage to buck the system. These books are for you, the game changers, movers and shakers, and anyone passionate about our nation's roots and future. Available now at Dungalik Studios, Logos Bookstore, the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and Chapter One Bookstore. Score your copies today. Celebrate our amazing legacy.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Before we get back into sports, here is a quick text. I saw two cars run the red light heading west from Bernard Road onto Wolf Road. There was no mistake. This was no mistake. The traffic heading west was in a stop position for more than 40 seconds. These two cars drove into the turning lane, twisted and contorted themselves into the lane of the traffic heading west, then sped through the red light. If the police have cameras at that intersection, please check them between 5 p.m. and 5:20 p.m. Thursday, July 11th, 2024. Dear Texter, the police are actively aware of what goes on at that intersection every day. Unfortunately, sometimes police are at the intersection observing this behavior and they do nothing. They don't even blow a horn to indicate to people that they should moderate their behavior, or in an attempt to evoke some shame that may cause an individual to moderate their behavior. Worse yet, I'm now watching police officers consciously and repeatedly breach traffic controls, turning left on red at intersections where they know clearly they're not allowed to turn left on red, sliding through stop signs. In fact, the most disheartening thing is to watch a police vehicle, watch the vehicles in front of them run the stop sign from Sands Road to Elizabeth Avenue South. So coming now behind the embassy to accident emergency, I observed a police vehicle in a line of traffic. Every single vehicle in front of that police vehicle slid through the stop sign, and then the police vehicle slid through the stop sign. I understand why people aren't following traffic controls. I understand. And then we go into the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Yeah, you know, it's always a great joy to listen to you. You know, the thing is, as far as people running, I mean, driving companies' vehicles, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like, it's just, there's so many, it's so much contempt out there. You know, a guy almost, they don't even come to complete full stop at junctions in which will inhibit or impede the amount of accidents because you would be able to orientate yourself before you pull out the corner. So sometimes people see you on a bicycle, never mind with values, they just don't care. They just, and they're in big vehicles. So I'm glad you brought that up. So we need to pay attention to that. But I want you to help me on your, as to the legality of politicians protruding their way through traffic. You know, like if the police come in through, people would try their best to move on the ambulance. Because I always think about somebody's hurt. Because I was in an ambulance before bleeding to death. So I know what it feels like. So I try to humanize the situation. But I was on Wolf, East Blue Road by St. Barnabas heading north. And so there was a speed cop, an outrider. And so it was only one vehicle. It was not even a contingent. It was just one vehicle in the back. I don't know. It might have had a government plate on it. But there was nowhere for people to go because everybody was gathered up together at the red light. And the police officer stopped at the red light, but he was in the back of the car, and he keep blowing and blowing and so on. And it was kind of annoying. There was really nowhere to go. He wanted me to damage the car for him to get. I mean, I don't think it was an emergency. It's just haughtiness. And what is the law? Does the law require me to move? That's not an emergency. That's a personal, egomaniacal agenda.
52, let's talk about it for a second. You would presume.
It's one car and one police in the front of him and way, and the whole people. Nowhere to go. You want bus open the transmission panel on the sidewalk? Man, they got to take it easy. What is the law on that? Because that doesn't make sense to me.
Well,
I don't see it anywhere else.
I'm gonna go back into the traffic amendments.
I didn't move. I was going to the gas station, so I just pulled into the gas station. But this for me is ridiculous. It is dehumanizing. And I just spent 10 years. Go to work traffic the other day. So I'm paying. I'm not like a person. What is it? We are dogs. They just ride. They need a helicopter then. Let's put it that way, because their ego requires that.
Thank you.
You know, they just ride over the people. They defecate all over us in every way. What is it? I mean, you could understand the police in an emergency.
52. I gotta go. Talk in sports. I'm hearing you, and I'm gonna respond to your commentary also. The point I wanted to make is that no police officer should expect a citizen to pull over for an emergency vehicle when they hear a horn. Surely, when you buy the police car, you tell them you want the package with the siren in it. I know every Bahamian listening to me right now is actively aware that police officers very rarely use the siren on their vehicle. The siren indicates there's an emergency. I interacted with an officer, I know this officer wanted to give me a ticket. And I'm trying to explain to him, nobody could see your lights at 12 o'clock in the daytime. You behind me, at a distance, nobody could see your lights at 12 o'clock in the daytime unless they are immediately behind you or the car in front of you. And why has it become policy? Because it's policy. It's policy, like how officers like to tell people, oh, I can't sleep. I have to sleep. You know, you cannot sleep on duty. You get scheduled for a shift, and the whole purpose is so you know when to sleep. And you sleep when you're not on shift, right? That's why you get a schedule. Tired officers, oh, you want us to get wet? We can't direct traffic in the rain. Y'all don't know where to buy ponchos? Y'all don't know where to buy raincoats and rubber boots? Y'all ain't never been to water and sewage and asked them where they get their rubber boots from? And they poncho? Never? In the same way, we want to know, why have you stopped using sirens and you only use horns? And why do you expect people to know that it's an emergency vehicle coming through? It suggests to me that it's not actually an emergency. So now I want to know, is there a computer system that logs every time a siren is used? And so y'all don't use it. And you think that you can operate like an emergency vehicle if you just blow your horn. And why are police officers doing mobile patrol with their windows up? Why you just don't go home or go to the clinic and ask for a nap? Because what is the point of conducting a mobile patrol with your windows up? How do you hear mom who slipped down on the side porch crying for help? How do you hear the sounds of little children in distress crying for help? How do you hear a young man say, I just get robbed, if your windows are up while you're conducting mobile patrol? I also want to say, Brayman, forgive me because I say I was only talking sports today, but so forgive me. Let's get back. We got a couple of moments left. I'm going to read the headlines. Jazz ends homerless streak. Hits 11th dinger. That's the 11th of July, 2024. In today's Tribune, also a wonderful Jazz story. You check this, boy. A fan call him over, say, hey, I got somebody on the phone who want to talk to you. And Jazz took a moment to talk to a fan who called into the stadium. I hear little talks about the Marlins want to trade Jazz possibly, but for what? We love y'all and Miami love him. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds.
Hey, Aaron. Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
I know you said it was sports, but when you wear off, something came to mind. I was at a gas station at a late hour, and a young lady walked up to two officers there at the station and request, and actually begged if they can give her a ride home because the person she was with left with someone else, and some guys decided that they could take her home who they were with.
Mm-hmm.
She was really afraid to ride any further with these guys. And do you know the officers tell them, sorry, we can't help you, be on patrol. And they left the young lady there at the station. This is late hour night.
Yes, ma'am.
So this is the things that they are doing in government vehicles.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I thought they was there to help us.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much for sharing that. I appreciate you sharing that. Okay, here's some more of the headlines. Gardner wins in Hungary. He's still doing it. He clocked a 44.50 seconds, winning for the second straight year in Hungary and his sixth win in the last 10 years. He holds the meet record of 43.74. The other Bahamian in that race, Wendell Miller, had to settle for sixth with 46.19. Gardner has a season's best time of 44.39 seconds and remains 10th on the world's top performance list for 2024. He in the list of the top 10 athletic performers. However, the men's 400-meter is wide open this year as no athlete has cracked the 44-second barrier. Gardner remains unbeaten this season and has not lost a race in which he has finished in 7 years. Also in action at the World Athletics Continental Tour gold level event in Hungary was Donald Thompson in the men's high jump. He cleared 2.24 meters. He finished fourth, but listen, everybody cleared 2.24 meters. You know, that's as high as everybody went, but he got fourth because of the number of knockdowns that he had. He's still competing at a high level. Here's a quick story. Pro boxer Carl Heald is now the WBA Fedicarib Super Welter champion. He defeated Yorbi Mendoza in Colombia via seventh round knockout to claim his first professional title. He remains undefeated as a pro and improved to 7-0. His focus now shifts to the WBA Continental title. Close but no cigar, we say congratulations to the men's national basketball team. Producers start playing their music. And we say most of all, congratulations to VJ Edgecombe. Is that an important call? 30 seconds, call it 30 seconds.
Hey, Aaron, morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, man, just want to congratulate our men's team for doing an awesome job.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I think they was, you know, they was superb, man. They was especially the young 18-year-old.
VJ Edgecombe.
Man, for God's sake, man, Aaron, and guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We only lost by 8 points.
Yeah.
Then we fought against a second-best team in the world.
Yep.
You know, congratulations, man. I was proud to be with him in 242 to the world.
You know what we need for the song, right? We need a remake of You Never Take a Lick Until You're Gone Down to Bimini.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do it for VJ.
Yeah, oh yeah, man. Awesome fella, man. Awesome.
We proud of him. We proud of Shania Adley. We proud of Renishka Gibbs, Lamar Taylor, Rima Audibar, Dior Ray Scott. We proud of all of these young athletes.
Yeah, man. 242 doing some big things.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Okay, thank you.
We also proud of Kai Jones, who resigns with the Clippers. That was in Monday's Tribune. And to Jonquel, she had a rough night on the weekend, held to 6 points. Liberty lose to Fever. This story is important because the Liberty, when she is on it, they have an excellent record, something like 15-1. 15-1. When she doesn't reach double figures, the Liberty are just 2-4. So you know she is a vital part of this team. And then in today's Tribune, she posted a double-double just, I think, last night or night before last. Jonquel Kai, we watching you just like we watching these other NBA boy. Thank you for joining me this morning, Brayman. We can pick that up in the future. You've been on the clock with Aaron Green. Oh, have a wonderful day. And if you see me in my Vince Carter jersey today, first of all, it's because Vince is the best NBA player of all time. He'd dunk on your head. And I am now convinced that Vince Carter is a Bahamian. I think he has Bahamian roots. A grandmother or a great-grandmother is Bahamian. And he have to be related to Tipsy Bartender. If you don't see that forehead, if you don't see them Bahamian forehead on the two of them, then I don't know what you're watching. You guys have a great day. Celebrate each other. Take your children to some of these sports camps. Maybe they like it, maybe they don't, but give them the experience. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM and CA Newry is up next.